Amen. We come today to observe the Lord's Supper. And as we take that time, we want to take a moment to look at what this is about and make sure that in our hearts we are prepared for this time together as we share in the love of Christ and allow Him to speak to our hearts in a very real way in these next few moments. You know, as we look in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul lets us know that this is a very serious matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's not something to be taken lightly. It's a time that we should have taken time to examine our hearts, and we're going to do that over these next few minutes and take a look at where we are and where the things that we might need to do to be prepared and to be able to live a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus. Let's pick up in verse 23 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Now, we know the church at Corinth had many issues. They were not the perfect church. Wilsonville Baptist Church is not the perfect church, is it? We're not perfect in who we are, but we do serve a perfect God. Jesus is perfect in everything about who He is and all that He has done. And as they come to a time to observe the Lord's Supper, Paul lets us know as we come that it is a time of remembrance and is a time to remind us of what Jesus has done for us, of Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. Jesus laid down His life for us. He went to the cross shedding His blood, taking nails into His hands and His feet. He was beaten brutally, was scourged, where his skin was torn away and His muscles were torn away, exposing the organs of His body. It was a brutal, brutal time in His life here on this earth. He came and He loved and He served and He cared. And He was scourged, He was beaten, and then He was taken to the cross. As we look at the broken body of Jesus, we see a body where we know no bones were broken, but we also know that this body was broken severely. It was torn apart through the scourging that took place. This was a man who came and lived a sinless life. This was a man who came and gave all that he had because he loves you. And I want you to think about that for just a minute. Jesus loves you so much that He has gone through what we're talking about. And as we take the Lord's Supper together, as we partake in this time together, it is a time that is very important as we remember what He has done. We remember the broken body of Jesus. We remember the body that He gave up for us. We remember the love that was poured into that. We know that when Jesus came before the courts, when He stood before the soldiers, He did not make a defense for Himself. He did not try to make a stand, even though He was innocent in every way. He was dying for the guilty. He was taking the place of the guilty. He was taking your place and my place. He took our place so that we could have a relationship with Him that is real and that is eternal. He sacrificed His body so that we might know His love. He sacrificed His body so that we would not have to experience an eternity separated from Him because of sin. It is only through Him that we have salvation. His body was torn apart and He shed His blood for us. He shed that pure, holy, precious blood so that we might have life, so that we might have hope, so that we might have a future, so that He could restore the relationship that we messed up. We turn from Him to sin. We turn from Him to do our own thing in our own way. And through the blood of Jesus, we find forgiveness. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that it's only through the blood of Jesus that we have salvation, that we have hope, that we have the things that He provides for us. And through the blood of Jesus, we find that peace. I hope that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that you've been washed in the blood so that you have felt the cleansing from sin and the hope that comes in knowing Jesus. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. Nothing like what He has done for us and through us. The Lord's Supper is to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice. It's to put back into our minds the things that He has done for us. The love that He has poured out for us. And folks, we're to come prepared spiritually as we come to this time. We're to come at a time where we've looked at our lives, where we've looked at our hearts. You know, a lot of times what we've done is we spend a lot of time looking at what everybody else is doing or not doing. We spend a lot of time concerned about what somebody else has done or said or is going to do. And folks, God does not hold us accountable for other folks. He holds us accountable for ourselves, our own lives. And so He said, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Take time to look at yourself through the Word of God. Take time to look at your life through the guidance of the Holy Spirit that God has placed within you. He will help us to see the things in our lives that need to change. He will open our lives to the sin that is going on. He will help us to look at our lives to see, am I faithful or am I not? You know, many times as we look at being faithful, we get caught up in what we're doing and we think, well, just because I'm doing it, I'm faithful. Faithfulness is about how I'm doing things, and everybody ought to be doing things the way I do. But God's made each of us different, hasn't He? He's given us all different gifts. And we serve God differently in what we do and how we go about doing it. But we serve the same God. I want to ask you, are you faithful? Are you faithful in reading and studying the Word of God? Are you faithful in allowing that Word to work into your life so that you can live for Jesus according to God's Word led by His Spirit? Are you faithful in being honest with God about the sin in your life? We're going to be talking about confession and in just a few moments, and that's a big part of examining ourselves. But am I faithful in what I'm doing for the Lord? Am I faithful in my church attendance? Am I faithful in my Bible study attendance? Am I faithful in sharing the love of Jesus with the world around me? Am I faithful in being a servant instead of looking to be served? Am I faithful in giving of myself? Am I ready to truly examine myself? Am I loving? Am I forgiving? Am I serving? And what's the proper result of an examination in our lives? Well, as we take the time to examine ourselves, we find things that need to change, don't we? I mean, didn't we admit just a while ago that we're not perfect? I hope we did. None of us are perfect in this room. So as we find sin in our lives, the proper response to that would be repentance. We repent of sin. We come before God with repentance and confession before Him. We agree with God that what He has called sin is sin, and that I am guilty. I'm guilty of sin, and I need His forgiveness. And I understand that forgiveness only comes through Him. He is the one that lived the sinless life. He is the one that went to the cross shedding His blood. He is the one that provided the hope for a future. He is the one who did the work to restore the relationship. The Bible says if I'm faithful and just to confess my sin, He will forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a great verse of Scripture? Folks, he restores the relationship. He makes things right that we messed up. And many times we don't want to do that examination because we know there's things that we don't want to look at in our lives. Many times we like to think we're better than we actually are, don't we? We like to pat ourselves on the back. We like to think about all I've done, all I'm doing. But folks, when we get real with God, we begin to realize that as I compare my life with the life of Jesus Christ, I fall short every time. My goal is to be like Him, and I'm not there yet. Hopefully I'm closer than I was yesterday, but I've got work to do. And as we begin to realize that, we begin to repent. We begin to get right with others to the best of our ability. We begin to, if someone is mad at us or we're angry with somebody, we need to get that relationship right. Fellowship in the body of Christ is important. You remember when the disciples came before Jesus, they said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." But He said, "The second one's likened to it. Love your neighbor as yourself." They go hand in hand. If we love God, we're going to love others. We're going to love our church family. And we're going to want to be right together. We're going to want that fellowship to be all that it can be. We've spent the last few weeks talking about fellowship. We've been spent the last few weeks talking about that time that we need together and the learning and growing in that love together. And as we begin to grasp what that means in the body of Christ, we learn to love each other in the ways that God loves each of us. We love each other. We care for each other. We minister to each other. We need to examine our lives, our hearts, and all that's going on. And sometimes as we come to this time to observe the Lord's Supper, our hearts are not prepared. We're not ready. This is why Paul's addressing the church at Corinth here. They're not prepared for the Lord's Supper. They're not ready. They have those that are coming and they get to be first in line, and they're not leaving anything for those who come later on. Some are getting a lot and some are getting nothing. Some are so prideful and self-centered that they're not concerned about the other people in the family of God. Do we ever get there? Do you ever get there? You know, sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we get so focused on my wants, my needs, the things going on in my life, that we forget about everybody else and the problems everybody else is having and how we might could serve and minister to others. But have you ever noticed that in all the business that we have, when you take the time to serve somebody, to minister to somebody, to help somebody that has a need around you, even though you may not feel like your needs are being met, you feel God working in your life. You feel the fellowship with Him as it's supposed to be. See, the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. They had a lot of issues going on. This was just one of the areas that they were beginning to take a look at and beginning to realize that there needed to be some changes. Paul was letting them know that when we observe the Lord's Supper, this is an important time. This is an important matter. We are taking bread that represents the body of Jesus. We're taking juice that represents the blood of Jesus. And we're remembering what He did to restore the relationship with us. The innocent for the guilty. He loves you that much. He cares about us that much. And He was letting them know that if you're not worthy, if you have not examined yourself, if you have not taken the Word of God and prayed and let God do a work in your life, then you don't need to be taking the Lord's Supper. See, God disciplines those who are not worthy. You realize that? Now, why does God discipline us? He disciplines us, like He says in His Word, because He loves us. He teaches us in His Word that when a father loves his children, he's going to discipline them. And He loves us too much to leave us in sin. He loves us too much to leave us alone when we're out of fellowship with Him. So He is going to discipline us. He is going to do the things that are needed to try to draw us back into a right fellowship with Him. Now, we don't like to talk about God's discipline, do we? We don't like discipline in our lives. But folks, we need it. Every one of us do. We need God to step in and do the things that need to be done so that we can be prepared. Now, folks, God knows your heart. God knows the things going on in each one of our lives. We try to hide things, and sometimes we do a pretty good job of it. We put on a good show. We get all dressed up. We come to church. We look good. We put a smile on our face. We get through the service, and we shake hands with folks, and we act like we're glad to be here, but inside there's turmoil going on, and God knows. You've heard me say this many times through the years. You can fool me. You can fool the deacons. You can fool your church family. You're not going to fool God. God knows your heart. He knows all the things about your life. And He cares. And as He begins to do a work in you, listen. Stop. Pray. Repent. Get right with God on the things that He is doing. Because folks, He lets us know here that in Corinth, some are sick.
Maybe this will be better. But God's discipline is important in our lives, in our hearts.
Guys, this may be an important message for us to hear this morning. Sounds like there's a lot of interference going on in what's happening. We get busy in a lot of things. We get caught up in a lot of things. We let a lot of things cause us to lose focus. We let a lot of things interfere in what God wants us to accomplish. You know, technology is a great thing, but it doesn't always work right, does it? And that's okay. It's not a perfect church, but we do serve a perfect God. And He is at work. And He cares. And He's speaking to hearts this morning. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He's at work here. But folks, we're to remember Jesus' suffering. As we remember Jesus' suffering, this is a stimulus for us to love. It reminds us of the love that Jesus has given to us. And it reminds us of the opportunity that we have to show that love to others. As we realize how much love Jesus has given to us in this life, as much as He has poured out on us, the blessings that He pours out every day of our lives,
Now, there are times that we talk about blessings on our prayer service on Wednesday night. We have a time to share about the blessings that God has given. And somebody just about every week will say, man, they're just too many to number. They're just too many to mention. We would be here all night if we talked about all the blessings that God gives. And He does. He pours out His blessings on us because He loves us. He cares about us. He knows what's going on in our lives. And with His love in our lives, folks, there's nobody that you can't love. Do you realize that? There is no one that you can't love. We know through the Word of God, the Word of God teaches us that we're supposed to love our spouse, that we're supposed to love our children, that we're supposed to love our church family, that we're supposed to love God, that we're supposed to love, yes, even our enemies. We can love anyone and everyone through the power of Jesus Christ. We look at what He has done for us, it ought to help us to drop a grudge. It ought to help us to have that forgiving spirit. It ought to help us to be able to reach out to someone who has done us wrong and show them real love and the love of Jesus Christ. As we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, He loved us when we were unlovable. And yes, you were unlovable. But God loved you anyway. Isn't that a great thing to grasp? In our sin, the Bible says that we were at once enemies of God. But because of what He has done for us, we have eternal life with Him. And now He calls us friend. He calls us family. He calls us His children. He calls us heirs to the kingdom of God. How does that make you feel this morning? God loves you. And we ought to be able to love others because of that love that He has poured out on us. It gives us a renewed hope. Folks, in Jesus, there's always hope. There's always hope. Do you ever feel hopeless? Folks, look to Jesus. He's the answer. There was another school shooting this past week. And everybody's just overwhelmed by that. And folks, it's a tragic thing. But there's still hope in Jesus. And we live in a country that at one time we called the greatest country in the world, and many folks still call us that. But you look at the United States of America today, and we are not united. There's division everywhere. There's hate. There's anger. People are hurting each other. People are selfish and prideful, but yet there is hope. Now, folks, I believe from reading the Word of God that God wants that hope to be shown to the world through His church. Do y'all agree with that? God wants to work through His church. God's not done with the church yet. How do I know that? Because we're still here. Bible teaches us that when He calls the church out, that's the beginning of the end. Right now we're here, and we have a purpose that we'll be talking about in just a minute. But we have hope. We have hope that comes in Jesus. He is the answer. He was the answer. He is the answer. He will be the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. I hope that you know Him. I hope that you love Him. I hope that you serve Him. And don't forget, He loves you. And folks, as we remember the suffering of Jesus, it gives us a purpose to live. It gives us a reason to live. People ask me all the time, or talk to me all the time, yeah, I'm looking for my purpose. What is my purpose? How am I going to find my purpose? Well, you find your purpose to begin with by meeting the needs, doing what you know to do. Do what you know to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Do the things that the Bible teaches. And God will guide you to the place you need to be serving and allow you to fulfill His purpose in your life. See, many times we struggle to find our purpose because we want our purpose to be something that's easy for us.
something that we can see right now, something that we've got a grasp of, something that we could do on our own. Folks, when you're fulfilling your purpose in Jesus Christ, you're doing something only God can do through you. You are doing something only God can do through you. God has something special for you. God has something special for Wilsonville Baptist Church. There's a purpose. And as we strive for that purpose, we know that in all things we are to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Folks, as we come to this time right now to observe the Lord's Supper together, I don't know if you've come today examining yourself or if you have not. But it's actually something we ought to do every day, not just every few months when we do the Lord's Supper. We examine ourselves. We come prepared, not just for the Lord's Supper, but to worship. Not just for the Lord's Supper and to worship, but to serve. To give of ourselves to others. To meet the needs around us. In these next few minutes, we're gonna sing a hymn of invitation, a hymn of commitment. And I'm going to invite you to come. I invite you to come to this altar and pray before God as His Spirit leads you. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't worry about the things that have interfered in the service today. But take a moment right now and allow God to do something in you. How is God speaking right now? How is God leading you? I invite you to come and kneel here. You may want to come and sit here on the front pew. But I invite you to come today. And let's let God do the work in our lives that He is longing to do, so that we might be the people of God that He longs for us to be. Father, as we come before You right now, we pray that as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, that we would take a few minutes and allow You to do a work in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, let Your will be done right now. Father, help us to get out of Your way and to join along with You in what You want to accomplish. But God, this is Your moment. This is Your time. And I pray that as You speak, we would listen. Let Your will be done. In Your name I pray. Amen. As we stand together and we sing at this time, You come.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here.